Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
With us, this is the second week in our sermon series during the month of December, simply entitled God With Us. Now, if you've been with us September, we're in a story. It's called The Story. It's a teaching of the Bible basics, the basic stories from September all the way to May. We're preaching through the major biblical stories, and we have this out in the lobby. This makes for a great gift if you want to give that to somebody, or we're going to be on chapter 11 on December 30th. I think that's December 30th, so if you need to catch up. So that makes for a great gift. If you want to buy me a gift, I have an idea for you. If anyone is Christmas shopping for me, I wear a size 7-day Caribbean cruise, all right? Just want you to know right there. So that makes for a great gift. We'll jump back into the story on December the 30th, chapter 11. But I want us to look at Isaiah the prophet as he talks about who Jesus is or who Jesus would become. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, I ask that we all read this together, and then I will read chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Let's read this the very best that we possibly can, right? Therefore, nope. All right, let's all stand together. Yep. Small circles. You remember in gym class you used to do small circles and big ones? They don't do that anymore. They should do that, small circles then big circles, and everyone's like touching each other, and the gym teacher says, move away. All right, here we go. Let's read it loud and clear. Ready? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel means what? Right. Just remain standing as I read verses 5 and 6, or 6 and 7 of chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. Now, just pause one second. I have as an illustration. We have two worlds, and I'm going to be talking about two worlds, one choice. I don't know if you can see that, but this is the world that we live in. We raise children, we pay taxes, a lot of taxes, taxes in New Jersey. But you buy, you sell, you function, you live, you work, you go to school in the world. It's what you see, it's the world. And then this is the kingdom of God. Well, whenever there's a kingdom, there has to be a king. And the Bible says that Jesus would be the king, or he'd be actually the king of all kings, or like he'd be the president of all presidents. You could take all the presidents, all the governors, all the rulers, and put them all together, and Jesus Christ would be over them because he is over the kingdom of God. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. You may be seated. So here's the world, right? What song are you thinking right now? He's got the whole world. All right, calm down. The world, the present world, and the invisible kingdom of God, and I just want you to know something, they're in conflict with each other. Many people in this room, you used to live in the world and its desires, and God has brought you into the kingdom of God. Let me just show you on the screen the difference between God's kingdom and the world's kingdom. Watch this. The world's kingdom is led by Satan. He's in charge of this world. You say, well, how do you know that? 1 John chapter 5, just jump to that and then come back really quickly. It says this, we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. He does really good to maneuver and try to get people to pull his way. Now go back to the divided screen. The world's kingdom is under Satan. It's visible. You could see it. And it's built on lies. It's built on hate, frustration. It doesn't work. You'll never feel satisfied. You're frustrated. Death is the ultimate game of Satan. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. And the feeling is energized by fear and sin. And by the way, sin has a pull. It pulls you to the world. But God's kingdom, the leader is Jesus Christ. It's invisible. Although you could sense it, and it's actually more real, it's invisible. It's built on truth. It's built on love. And it's built on satisfaction. So when Jesus came to earth, he said, joy to the world. The Lord has come. He's saying, listen, this is better than the world. If you've ever been in the world, you know it's not good. You go down Atlantic City, you dance yourself, you drink yourself, you party yourself, you wake up the next day and say, that didn't satisfy me. But God's way satisfies the soul. And it leads you towards eternal life and not fear. Fear, what's going to happen to me when I die? God says, listen, I'm going to assure you that when you die, you can be with me forever. And it's energized when people walk by faith and obedience. So we're talking about two worlds, one choice. At the end of this message, I'm going to invite you to be part of one or the other. And by the way, you can't be one foot here and one foot there. There are people in the room, you have one foot here and one foot there, and Satan's making a joke out of you. You could either be in the world and just embrace it, just go for it, or cross over and say, God, I'm going to give you my heart for the kingdom, and I want you to be the king of my own heart. I want you to know that these two worlds are in conflict. So let me just ask you this quick question. Is this your worldview? Is this your worldview? Do you generally think everybody's a good person, there's no evil in the world, and we shouldn't judge anybody, and everything's okay? It's a good question for you to ask yourself, is there a God or is there a Satan? But let me tell you this, Jesus Christ came and he is the kingdom of God in person. He advances, it's Jesus, he is the kingdom. Now listen, something went really wrong and it happened through a divorce. You remember Adam and Eve? They were in the garden. The Bible says they were naked and not ashamed. Everything was good. And the Bible says God was with them. He walked with Adam in the cool of the day. Everything was great. There was love. There was intimacy. God was providing all the needs. They didn't have to work. They were enjoying God's presence. God was with them. But then something went really wrong in Genesis chapter 3. Remember Adam and Eve? They ate from the tree and they fought with each other. And from there come jealousy and murder, and all these problems, right in Genesis chapter 4, 5, 6, and 7. You say, well, what happened? A divorce. Man said, God, I don't want you. And God had to kick them out of the garden, so now you have a holy God, and you have unholy people, and there's a problem. But God wants always people to come back together, and so what God does, he begins to pull people and say, listen, it's God with us. I want to be with you. As a matter of fact, God would have a people. In Genesis chapter 12, remember Abraham? I will be with you. I will bless you. God would always have a voice. He'd have a presence, the Shekinah glory over the Old Testament tabernacle. But when God's kingdom really came was when Jesus Christ came into the world in all of his fullness. He was the Son of God and he was the Son of Man. And the Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Now, you and I change, right? Can I show you a picture of me 25 years ago? Because I change, right? Watch this. Wow, that's me right there. I'm the guy on the right. I think I weighed 175 pounds back then. Do you know about 6 weeks ago, I weighed 230? Do you know how much I weighed on Wednesday? 209. I dropped 21 pounds. Come on, somebody. Right there, 21 pounds. But listen, I'm a lot different than when I was 18 years old at Central Bible College. Today, this is how I am. She cuts my hair. Look, every time she messes up the same spot. Can you leave it in there, please? But you know what? Obviously, Jesus hasn't come back, and I'm not, like, completely old. At some point, my mom, she's completely changed. She has Parkinson's. If you saw my mom, she's just been like a normal mom growing up. I'm not sure like how much she weighed, but my dad says like today she weighs less than 100 pounds. So her whole body has changed because she has Parkinson's. Every one of us in this room, you will change. You might not want to change, but you will change. So you remember like when you're in high school, like you're a certain age, and then all of a sudden in college, and then you saw, oh man, it was so long ago, then you're in your 20s. It just keeps moving on for all of us, and we keep changing. And the more you can embrace it, the better you're going to be in life. It changes. But the Bible says there's one person that never changes. His name is Jesus Christ. He says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, he changed in that he became a baby and he grew up and he ascended up into heaven, but his countenance and who he was never changed. He's the only person that's like us and not like us at the same time. So you say, well, how was he when he was on earth? How is he, or how is he by his Spirit today? And how will he be if he never changes forever? I want you to walk through Jesus as King as it relates to us in the kingdom. Number one, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. 126 times in the New Testament, the word kingdom of God is used. And it's usually used to have people drawn to Jesus Christ. Watch this, Mark chapter 1, verse 15. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. It was a call out. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ has come. Matter of fact, he sent somebody before him named John the Baptist, his cousin. And he said, listen, the kingdom of God, repent. Get your life right with God because Jesus Christ is coming and he's going to do something so wonderful and he's going to invite you into the kingdom of God. Over here is immorality. And over here is lying and cheating and Satan is running amok. He's destroying people's lives. He's encouraging drug use. He's encouraging all types of confusion inside of the world. And God says, listen, there's something better. Young people, there's something better. The world is eating you up alive. And God says, listen, come over here, turn from your sin, and enjoy the kingdom of God. And it's kind of like this inviting thing, like this. Like, come to me, all of you who are weary and tired, and I'll give you rest. It's always through invitation. It's through the cross. You have to admit that you're a sinner and you repent. That means to turn from your sin. And the Lord wants people to come into his kingdom. It's not just eternal life. It's not just heaven. But heaven comes down into your heart and you have joy. Most people on earth don't have joy. You're not happy. You're sitting here. You're popping pills. You're looking for the next high, the next party. You're just praying that the Eagles win today. And you got all this different stuff. And you know it's kind of like real frustrating, all this stuff. It's not our year. It was last year. How did that happen? You got all this stuff that's going on. And God says, won't you come to me? He preaches. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It starts small, and as you kind of just see it move, and that's kind of like the church, how it grows. And the kingdom of God is like dough that works through the whole batch. And there is a sense that Jesus, when he came to earth, he was advancing the kingdom of God. And it was Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. When Jesus walked the earth, he was different. He spoke with authority, did miracles. He raised the dead, healed the blind. It was miraculous. Like, who is this guy? He's just from Nazareth or Bethlehem. He's nothing special. We know his parents are. But God was with him. So, yes, God is the same yesterday. But I also want to tell you, when Jesus left the earth, he's with us today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, and he's with us today. Kevin, can you just wave at everybody? My heart was so blessed last Sunday night at the Christmas small group party. You got up there, gave your testimony. You've only been in church since August. If I have it right, August, September, October, November, December, that's like 5 months. You weren't living for God, you weren't serving God, nothing. And you got up there and said, hey, listen, this is what happened. I actually asked the Lord to come into my life and I was in the world. I was like a bad guy or whatever. And then God drew me. Now I'm part of the church and I'm part of the kingdom of God. And I'm, oh man, it was so wonderful. It was so awesome. I mean, a lot of us have been here. A lot of us have danced here. A lot of us have joked here. Oh, and you kind of just, you kind of had that party, that feel, all this stuff. and it does not satisfy. And you come to a spirit-filled church and you sense that God can do something greater than what the world can offer. And Kevin, man, I was so blessed. I liked the food. I liked the small groups, all that stuff, a wonderful time or whatever. But I remember we water baptized you last month. And you came up out of that water baptism. I have a picture of you. Watch this. He's doing the fist pounds right there. I was like, oh, man. Isn't that awesome? You know, most people, they just kind of think about church. Have to go to church. Hurry up, we're running late. I'm not trying to point at people, but some of you guys and some of you guys over there. It's like going to church. Church is wonderful. God has a church. We're a spirit-filled church with when all the gifts, all the presence of God, his church. But it's greater than just the church. It's his kingdom. It's his kingdom that we get invited to. Because you remember, Satan is not, he'll go after your kids. He'll go after everybody. He wants you in this kingdom. He'll try to allure you with everything that's wrong. He tries to fake you out. He'll keep you here. He'll dance with you. He'll joke with you. He'll make you laugh. But God says, listen, it does not satisfy. Come here, come here, come here. And they noticed something about Jesus. We talked about this last week. They came to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray, because Jesus, when you pray, miracles happen. When we pray, nothing happens. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, watch this. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to worship? Nope. Teach us to preach? Nope. Teach us to do small groups? Nope. Royal Rangers Impact? Nope. Wednesday night prayer service? Yes. Just as John taught his disciples, watch this. When you pray, say this, Father, holy or hallowed be your name, watch this, your kingdom come. I like Matthew's gospel. He says, when you pray, go into your prayer closet, turn off the radio, cell phone, social media, just meet you and God. And when you pray, do it like this, Father in heaven, holy is your name. Listen, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you begin to pray that way, no, not, oh, Lord, bless me, make my kids happy with Santa Claus stuff. No, I'm not talking about that. When you pray that prayer, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done. Like, remember Jesus prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane? It's a choice. He prayed, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. I'll do what you call me to do. I'll take up my cross. What the Lord is calling us to do right now is to leave the things of this world, the feeling, the vibe of the world, and come embrace God's kingdom and actually pray this way. Young people, you should pray this way. You should say, God, I don't care whatever it is, I pray this way. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. If you don't pray that way, then you're not in obedience to God. So I have, obviously, three daughters. Two of them come home tomorrow. The other one's sitting right there. My daughter's dating a young gentleman. You say, why do you talk about prayer so much? My daughter's dating a young gentleman. He's a super nice guy. But you know what? I just want to ask her, like, this one thing. And I do. Her name's Abigail. Abby, is this the right guy for you? So if she can answer that, say, yeah, I'm in God's will, we're good. But if she's not in God's will, she's dating the person that she's not supposed to be dating, then she is only going to have a broken heart, wasted time, wasted money, wasted whatever, and you have to answer yourself that question. Are you in God's will? Then if you're in God's will, if you're doing what God's called you to do, if God hasn't called you to be a pastor, don't be a pastor. Once in a while, people come up to me and say, oh, Pastor John, I want to do what you do. I'm like, no, you don't. But I want to be a pastor. And their minds kind of go to a place. I'm like, listen, that's not really God's will for you. People don't like you. I mean, I'm just like, you got to kind of be like, or people like you, you like people. And you have to be in the will of God. Well, how do you get into the will of God? You must pray, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Listen, the world and its desires pass away. But the man of God who does the will of God lasts forever. Some of you are wasting so much time, money, resources, thoughts, energy, relationships into this world. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. It's going to go away. The only thing that will last forever is the kingdom of God. So this world, really, if you think about it, is actually going away. The chairs that you sit on right now will not be here forever. So to put your stock in a chair or clothes or a relationship that's not honoring to God, it's just a waste of time. But how do you get into that mode? You say, Lord, is this your will? So you work, surrender your job, your work, your business to God. Say, God, this business, Lord, for your kingdom's purpose. If you have time, you're young, say it. Say it, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be. I went to Bible college and I was a missions major. I thought I was going to be a missionary. Pastor Jamel, right? When I left Valesburg, you thought I was going to go be a missionary, right? Because that's what you do. You advance God's kingdom. It's not just the church, but we should raise not $1 million, $2 million for missionaries, for the kingdom of God. You say, John, why did you build the field house? Is it to make our kingdom, like our campus here at Marlton, bigger and better? No, no, no. We did not do it for our own self. We did it for the kingdom of God. There's people that are coming from the field house. They, wait, the field house? And is a church? Wait, is this a YMCA? I know there's work to be done. What is that? It's the mayor? Whatever. Nope. It's the kingdom of God. It's advancing the kingdom of God. This world, the field house won't be around forever, but God's people will be around forever. And we must advance the kingdom of God. We must talk about it. We must pray for it. Where's my friends? There's a lady that we prayed for. I don't know if you remember, but a lady named Sally in church on Wednesday night. We have a gypsy family here. There's like 7,000 of them. I can never know. But Sally, Alex, big boy, wife, had cancer. Right? Am I right? Monday or Tuesday, went into surgery and they had to cut out all of the surgery. And then she's going to have recovery and have like six different chemos, and family was distraught, and they weren't here Wednesday. And I said, can some ladies or whatever, can they come up and just pray for Sally, and there's some other needs there? The next day, I get like a text message, and I hit the button because I was on Bluetooth, and Bri and I were driving down the street, and it was kind of like this, hallelujah, 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 praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and it's going through the Bluetooth. I'm like, what's going on? She goes, you're not going to believe it. Prayer works. They got all the cancer out. They're not going to need any more chemo anymore. Praise the Lord. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Am I telling the truth? Just wave at me if I'm telling the truth, right? Praise the Lord. All the family is distraught. But the kingdom of God, Emmanuel, God is here right now with us today. And he moves by his Holy Spirit. There was a special move of God after Jesus rose again in Acts chapter 2. It's the promise. Don't leave Jerusalem, but stay. I will fill you with the Holy Spirit. And God came near. It's very awkward to talk about spirit baptism because people say, oh, you're drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. No, it's not 9 o'clock in the morning as you thought. But there's like these moves of God in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 10 is the best one. In Cornelius' house, he's a righteous man, but God had something else. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit because God is with us. If you're not filled with the Spirit, you'll be dancing with the enemy. He will make a mockery of. You'll waste time and resources. But when you come into the kingdom of God, it is joy, deep and satisfaction, deep in our hearts. So today, I'm going to encourage you to come out of the world. You say, John, I can't stop sinning. You are right. Jesus must set you free. There must be the revelation of Jesus Christ high and lifted up, not just in the manger, but he is God and he is good and he's authentic and real. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. He's alive today in 2018. And Jesus Christ is forever. I want to show you a quick video. It's not funny. It will maybe feel like it's funny, but I want you to pay attention to the words. It's from the Hallelujah Chorus, the Handel's Messiah. There's three different cultures I put on there in purpose. The Lagos Community Gospel Choir, Andre Rue, and then remember about 5 or 6 years ago, it was called Flash Mobs, where people just stood up in different malls and stuff. This is actually in a food court, but if you just pay attention, you'll know it's perfectly designed, and they obviously talk to the people in charge of the mall. But listen to the words of Jesus Christ, not just yesterday, not just today, moving by his Spirit, but what it will be like for all of eternity. Watch this and listen to the words.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Oh, the Lord God, he possesses heaven. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Gentlemen, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he comes and he's God with us. And so you see pictures of Arby's. You say, can God be real with us in the mall? The answer is yes. He can be real with you in your home. The answer is yes. He's God with you. He's with the checkbook or online. And you go on there and say, is he with me? He's with me. He's God with us. And he's greater than what's in the world because he's in us. And his kingdom is advancing. But it's not just now. It's forever and ever and ever. But sometimes when you're in the middle of it, people in this room have cancer. Some of you have kids aren't serving the Lord. Some of you have kids in prison. Some of you have very difficult challenges. My mom has a very difficult challenge. My dad has a caretaker. He has a very difficult challenge. My sister has continual problems with her health. My father-in-law passed away, so Thanksgiving and Christmas aren't wonderful for her. But there is something of a promise for all of eternity that we will be with the Lord forever. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 says it like this. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. And there's this picture. You say, well, how's it all going to happen? Watch this. This world's gone. This world's gone. But those who love Christ, those who believe and walk with Christ, who wash their robes, who purify themselves, who get themselves ready, the Bible says Jesus Christ is going to come back. And then there's going to be like 3.5 years of tribulation, another 3.5 years called the Great Tribulation. And then this 1,000 years, the Bible says, this millennial reign of Christ. But then there's going to be the second return of Christ. And his believers, us, will be with him. And the Bible gives us imagery. They'll be riding on horses. And we're going to come with him. And we're going to be shouting with the great trumpet, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Bible says there's going to be this new heaven and a new earth. And we will reign and be with Christ forever. Now listen, when you say the word rain, that's not a word we use. We usually say rain. It's raining outside. R-A-I-N. It's not raining outside. It's rain. R-E-I-G-N. Jesus Christ is the King of his kingdom. The world is spinning out of control, but those who trust and believe in him, who is the God with us today, we sense his presence, we walk by faith, we get up tomorrow, swing the hammer, we teach the kids, we do what we got to do, but one day we will be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. So, ladies and gentlemen, your life and your ministry are very important. Your investment is very important. You say, well, what gives us the right to come into his kingdom? You don't just come into his kingdom. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says it like this. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing them on the cross. Whoever would look to Jesus for their salvation and forgiveness of sins and a new life in Christ, the Spirit of the living God would come inside of us and give us the victory here on earth as we wait for the Savior to come, and we will rule and reign with him forever and ever and ever. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's never stopped, and his kingdom is advancing. You say, why preach that hard? Because Satan is swallowing up people and bringing them to his hell. There's people in this room, you're not right with God. You're not right. If God, if he would say, right now it begins the end, you're not going. Right now you're not prepared. You're not ready to go. And God says, won't you come into my kingdom? Hear the pastor's voice. If you can't trust the pastor that you can see, you can never trust the God that you can't see. I mean, if you rebel now, you think you can be obedient to God who you can't see? And so the Bible is pulling people in these last days. Come. Come into the kingdom. Let your robes be washed clean. Come, invest yourself in the kingdom. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's why I don't drink alcohol. It's not that I'm against alcohol. It's wrong to get drunk. But the world gets drunk. It's just looking for another party. I drink no alcohol. You say, why? Because it costs money. I'd rather give that to the missionaries. There was a dear lady in our church today. She came. I think Trey, somebody came and helped me. She gave a whole bunch of coins. Coins for missions. Man, those coins make a big difference to Jesus. That's why I don't dance with the world. I don't dance with the world. Most times you go to a place and you're dancing with the world and it's full of garbage that's just coming into your earlobes. That's why I don't laugh with the world. I can't. You know, listen, if you're going to take a stand and be with the world, they're going to think you're crazy. They're going to think you're nuts. You got to make the decision, the choice. This world, you can hang out with this world. You can dance with it. You can smoke with it. You can drink with it. You can sex with it. You can do anything you want with it. It's accepting. You just have to. They'll invite you in. But listen, when you cross over, you say, Lord Jesus, you're the King of my heart. The world and its desires pass away. And all that happens, Satan wants you to do is just get ripped off. Jim Cimbala on Wednesday night, you can correct me if I'm wrong. You know what he said? Satan doesn't care about small groups. He doesn't care about worship services. He doesn't care about red carpet ministry. He doesn't care about singing or preaching. That's not what scares him. The only thing that scares Satan is when people come to an altar or the throne room of grace and they come and say, Lord Jesus, be the King of my heart and this church. He knows he's in serious trouble because you walk from this place to this place and God begins to spiritual transact in your life and say, God, I want to advance your kingdom. You say, oh, I go to church. That doesn't matter. Lord, I want to advance your kingdom. Young people, God is calling you right now to advance his kingdom. Pastors and deacons, he is calling us as a church to advance his kingdom. He will figure out how to do church Saturday night. We have something on Wednesday night. Oh, if we can, on Friday, we have the preschool kids and the elementary kids all day on Marlton Christian Academy. This place is going to be packed out of parents. And what are we praying? Oh, God, advance the kingdom of God. Touch these little kids. These kids know more Bible than their parents do, and they're talking and goofing around, but these kids will sing, Emmanuel, God with us. I want to tell you, we have very limited time. We must advance God's kingdom. We must jump in. We must say, God, does this please you? Does this honor you? Because we felt this. Some of us used to be right in the middle of it. We would deflate it, fill it up with ourselves in the middle of it. God's changing us. Say, God, I want to advance your kingdom. Would you stand with me in the Lord's presence? You know, I'm in a lot of public events, big crowds. And I see what people laugh at, what they dance at, and what they cry at. I'm like, Lord, I'm not like them. The only thing is what's going to last for all of eternity. I used to be really active in the world. My own thoughts. I was so selfish, so into myself, what I wanted. I used to be sarcastic at church. I didn't grow up in a spirit-filled church. We used to have this one guy who used to give like a tongue and he interpreted whatever, and it was kind of sounded weird. I used to make fun of it. The Lord had to say, John, you're wrong. You're wrong. I want my kingdom to advance. And I believe God wants people in this room to come to God and say, I need the Lord. Emmanuel, God with me. Today, in just a moment, you come up to this altar and say, my life's not right with God. If I died right now, I wouldn't go to heaven. And God says, I love you. I'm going to pull you in. God's going to be with you. There's some people right now, your kids aren't serving the Lord. You come up to the altar and say, God, would you touch my kids? Emmanuel, God with us. And some of you, ministry. Lord, what can I do to advance your kingdom? Some of you, God wants to give more to missions. He wants you to sacrifice. He wants you to say yes to the Lord. Go on mission trips. Expose your family, your kids to that which is greater. Some of you, God's telling you to turn off that junky music, that TV. It's just wasting time. You say, I don't have any time to read my Bible or pray, but you're on social media like 4 hours a day. You say, I want you to leave the things of this world and embrace the kingdom of God. We have very limited time. This one's gone. I'm giving my life for this one. Fashion doesn't move me. Popularity doesn't move me. Number of people in church doesn't move me. What I want is to advance God's kingdom. If it means I'm the pastor here, we advance the kingdom. If it means me going to be a missionary, we advance the kingdom. If it means my kids being missionaries, if it means my kids serving in Impact or Royal Rangers, being doctors or dentists or lawyers, we advance the kingdom. Teachers, we advance the kingdom. God, your kingdom come. Your will be done. God with us. Would you just lift your hands like this to the Lord? Would you just whisper like to the Lord yourself, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done. Come on, you just say that to the Lord. Lord, in my life, in my home, my business, my marriage, my relationships, in this church, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, for your purposes, I give you my future. I give you my heart. You're the king of my heart, Lord. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For your purposes, for your glory. Go ahead, just say that. Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's say it together. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is that your prayer? Young people, is that your prayer? Mom and dad, that's your prayer? Grandparents, is that your prayer? Oh, to lead people into the kingdom, to glorify the name of the Lord, to be in the presence of Almighty God. Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No one's looking around. When you've come to church today, we're so glad you're here. God loves you and cares about you, and he's inviting you to come to him. You're in the world, and God says, come out of the world. Come out of the flesh, and I want you to start living for me. It's a spiritual life. It's a devoted life. It's a committed life. You might have been coming to this church for a while, and God is speaking to you today. I want you to advance the kingdom of God. I want you to think about the kingdom. I want you to pray about the kingdom of God. How God can use you if you'll walk by faith and obedience. But right now, there's people in this house. You're not where you need to be. And God's trying to move you from the world into the things of God. And you want to say, Pastor, pray for me because I need Jesus to come into my life. Or I'm making a decision to walk away from the things of this world into the kingdom of God. And today is a decision time for you. Say, Lord, that's me. I want to get things right, but also I want to live for that which will last for all of eternity. No one's looking around, but you shoot up your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I need to ask Jesus into my heart. Or I want to start walking towards the things of God this morning. If that's you in the house, can I just see your hand? Just lift it high. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. You want to walk with the Lord. You want to walk close to God. Today is your day. I see a couple of hands. God's speaking to you. God's speaking to you. We're going to sing a little chorus that goes like this. Jesus, we love you. All things have passed away. And this morning, we're going to seal this message in our hearts by coming to this altar. God's working on you to advance his kingdom. We have very little time. We must be serious-minded about what that is important.